Tom Mascheri joins us on Sports Byline USA. He played power forward in the NBA for 10 years for the Philadelphia and San Francisco Warriors, and also at the end of his career played 4 years for the Seattle Supersonics. But we're coming up on an anniversary of a major sporting event. He was part of the highest scoring game by an individual player in NBA history when his Warrior teammate Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points in a game against the Knicks in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Tom, take me back to what the league was like then. How big was it? What was it really like playing in the NBA at that time?
Ron, it was the NBA was just at that point emerging, sort of into the sports consciousness of the United States. It was primarily an East Coast league. The year prior to that, the Minneapolis Lakers became the Los Angeles Lakers, but still there was only one team on the West Coast. So it was primarily a smaller league, 12 teams, if I'm not mistaken. It might have been less than that. But I think that it was mostly East Coast guys. And being a West Coast San Francisco guy coming out of college, I really was, at that time in my life, paying more attention to the NIBL, which is the National Industrial Basketball League, and as a way to continue playing basketball after college, and then I finally, of course, chose the NBA. It was a small league, but as I said, it was emerging. The year before, Jerry West, Oscar Robertson, Lenny Wilkins were drafted, and those three guys, I think, and Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell, all those fellows all sort of came into the picture, and the NBA began to emerge as a national league.
Tell me what your first impression of Wilt Chamberlain was.
Awesome. It was just awesome. I couldn't believe there was anybody that big. I mean, you have to stand next to Wilt to understand how large he is and the dimensions of it. You know, I know that people think Shaq is a big man, but I think anybody who has ever stood next to Wilt and then stood next to Shaq would not be nearly as impressed with Shaquille O'Neal after having stood and next to Wilt Chamberlain. He had just an enormously, he had a beautiful body. He had long legs, long arms. He was well proportioned. He was just a great-looking athlete. And then, of course, you know, they say he's 7'1". I swear I think he was 7'2". So he was a formidable sight. It was like standing next to the Empire State Building.
They talk about Wilt Chamberlain and the battles against Bill Russell. Was that a time when the big man dominated the league in playing pro basketball?
Well, yes and no. I think, Bill and Wilt certainly dominated the game in a way that probably hasn't been seen until, I guess, the matchups between Bill Walton and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar occurred later on. But the other centers in the league were so-so players, not so great. It was a league that was, I think in many ways it was cast by guys like Elgin Baylor, Jerry West, Oscar Robertson, but certainly the two premier centers were Bill and Wilt, and they set the stage for some amazing battles.
You played with the Philadelphia Warriors, so why was the game then played in Hershey, Pennsylvania?
We played there. Eddie Gottlieb, our general manager and owner, had a deal with the Hershey Arena and with the Hershey Township that we could have our training camps there. In return for the training camps, we would play one game in their arena, and they could get a little money that way. And it was a trade-off. It was very strange because, of course, Hershey, Pennsylvania is the place where Hershey chocolate is made, and everywhere you go, you smell chocolate, and that included the arena during the game. I mean, Wilt's 100-point game was played in an arena that smelled of chocolate.
Your coach was Frank McGuire. Tell me a little bit about him and how he coached your club.
Frank was a college coach of some renown. He had won the national NCAA championship. Ironically, his team defeated Wilt's Kansas team when Wilt was at Kansas, his North Carolina team. And he came to the Warriors, very East Coast guy, very dapper, a guy who loved where he was sartorial. You know, he had beautiful suits, silk suits. He was very much of a dandy. He loved one of his great poses. He would always stand when he called time out. He would always make sure his cufflinks were showing before he teed the referee. So it was a very interesting character. He knew the game. He was a very bright coach. There's no doubt about that. And I think what is very interesting, he, prior to the season, predicted that Wilt would score 50 points a game, and that at some point, and I think he hedged a little bit, Ron, about the exact time of it. He never actually went out on a limb and said it would happen in that particular season, but he did predict that Wilt would score 100 points in a game of basketball.
Tell me a little bit about the rest of the team, the other players on the floor and on the bench with Wilt.
Well, our starting five was Paul Arizin and myself at the forward, Guy Rogers and Al Addles at the guard. Sometimes Gola would play guard. Tom Gola, the well-known East Coast basketball player from LaSalle. We had a guy named Joe Rutlick, who was from Northwestern, a big, tall, 6'11 guy who unfortunately was the backup center for Wilt, so he saw very, very, very few minutes. We had a young guy from North Carolina, York Larisi, a couple of other kids. I can't actually remember some of them. There was big rookie from Indiana. I can't remember his name. But they... Joe Rutlick actually was the guy who dumped the ball into Wilt for the last shot that Wilt took. He's responsible for passing that ball to Wilt, and Wilt scored that 100-point off of a Rutlick pass. Paul Arizin, by the way, was a great All-Star in the Hall of Fame. Tom Gola is in the College Hall of Fame, and Al Addles, of course, went on to win the a championship for the Golden State Warriors as their coach.
One thing about Chamberlain was, while you guys played in Philadelphia as the Warriors, he lived in New York and would commute, would he not, down to the home games down there?
Yeah, he did. He commuted. He had bought Small's Paradise in Harlem, and then turned the name into Wilt Small's Paradise, nightclub of some fame, and so he lived in New York, and he commuted to the game in Hershey, Pennsylvania, with Johnny Green and Willie Nahls, both players on the Knicks. So they drove over together from New York to Hershey, Pennsylvania, and then we played the game and defeated them, of course, soundly. And then Wilt comically had to drive back to New York with Willie and Johnny Green, and the story goes, according to Al Addles, who knew Wilt better than I, that Wilt feigned sleep in the back seat because he was so embarrassed by the defeat, and here his two friends were in front talking about him, angry, and at one point I think he told his sister this while back. That he sort of remembered he actually did fall asleep, then woke up and heard them talking about maybe they should kick him out of the car somewhere along the route. And so yes, he drove in with two guys. Willie Nahls, by the way, will not talk about that game. If you ask him for an interview, he will not give it.
4,124 people on hand to watch this game, this historic game in which Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points, something that most people say will never be broken again. It was in Hershey, Pennsylvania. It was the Knicks against the Warriors. And when we come back on the other side, we'll talk to Tom about the game itself. Plus, Tom has had a very interesting life aside from basketball, and we'll talk to him about that as we continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline.